It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is underwritten by the Knights of Columbus, Council 6923 and Fishers, and is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. If you have any comments or suggestions for this program, please contact Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org. That's B-R-I-G-I-D at CatholicRadioIndy.org. Or call 317-870-8400. Now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, Jim. Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
And Bridget, this is normally where we take a couple minutes here to tell people about what's going on at the station and that sort of thing. But today we've got two great guests, and they both got great messages that we want to share. So we're going to skip all of that and jump right in and talk to our first guest about a upcoming event that I know a lot of our listeners will be interested in.
Well, yeah, within the past year, the pandemic, we've had a lot of time to reflect on our lives and our faith journeys. And one great way to continue that is through Christian community, specifically Catholic community of women who have walked this path before. And here to talk about an upcoming conference, the Indiana Catholic Women's Conference, is Kathy Denny. She is the founder of the Marian Center, and she has been helping to organize these conferences for many years. And she's joining us by phone. And Kathy, thank you so much for being our guest today. Welcome to Faith in Action.
Well, thanks, Bridget and Jim. I'm glad to be here. It's a good time to talk about it. It's coming up before you know it.
That's right. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give the date. It's Saturday, September 25th is the date, and it's an all-day conference. And this event is sponsored by, you're in partnership with the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. But I want you to talk about a little bit about the Marian Center. What is that?
Well, the Marian Center was actually founded in the late 1990s, and just as a way to help in evangelization. You know, I think because Pope John Paul called us all to that, it just hit a little note, and we decided, a few of us, that we would, you know, see what we could do. So we began to meet as the Marian Center. And we did a lot of, we sent out a newsletter. And that newsletter, we would take really good Catholic teaching and get permission to use it and send it out to people on a list. It was really a good time. You know, we needed it, I think. And from there, we went on then to these conferences.
Now, you mentioned the conferences have been going on for quite a few years. When did the conferences themselves start?
You know, I was looking for that, and while I'm not very good at keeping records, I did find our earliest conference was 2003 that I could find, and we had the tapes. Actually, they were tapes back in 2003. So I think that was the first.
So I know that you have the Marian Center hosts or sponsors a men's conference and a women's conference. How many people come out to the women's conference, and who is it really aimed towards in terms of an age group?
Yeah, I think I would have to say that we've grown each year in the last maybe 3 years, and our last one was about 550 women. This year, of course, we had to cancel due to COVID, and now we're hosting this same one with these same women who had signed up, but you know, we're aiming towards just Catholic women, you know, and they can be as early as high school, and I think then they would enjoy it. I don't think any younger kids would really enjoy it.
Now, I know that in past that there's been a theme. Is there a theme this year? I couldn't quite.
Yes.
Okay, what
there
is?
There really is.
Okay.
And it was a quote from St. John Paul II. And he said, "In this little host is the solution to all the problems of the world." And so this is our theme, the Eucharist.
Wow. Wow, that's quite a theme. Explain the day a little bit, if you would, Kathy. What time do people get there, and what are they going to encounter during the day?
Okay, so most people come in about 8. Really, we start at 8:30, but that gives women a time to talk to each other a little bit, get a cup of coffee. We have coffee and tea and things like that for them to get started. And 8:30 really starts our first speaker. And then we have a couple speakers in the morning, during which time there are confessions being heard at the same time. And the women can stay in the room and just go out as needed for the confessions. And then 11 o'clock is the first break that we have, really, and that is for the Mass. We have Monsignor Joseph Schadel coming for to do the Mass for us. And we sometimes have a little march, but we're not this year. We're just going to have the Mass, and it'll be over at St. John's at 11 o'clock. So even women that weren't able to maybe make the conference could come for the Mass.
Oh, okay.
And be part of us. So.
Sure. And then you'll be coming back to the convention center?
Then we come back for a really nice lunch, and we have a break, a nice break at that point for women to go to the vendors and see you know, what's interesting to them. We have lots and lots of vendors that come. And so we give that break and one more in the afternoon for a shorter break for them to, again, mm-hmm. go out and see whether
sure.
there's something that, you know, they're interested in.
Sure.
We usually finish about 4 to 4:30.
We're talking with Kathy Denny. She is the founder of the Marian Center of Indianapolis, an evangelization apostolate, I guess, outreach ministry. And we're talking about the Indiana Catholic Women's Conference, which is coming up Saturday, September 25th. How can people register? I want to kind of jump to that before we get to the end of the interview so people can know how to do that.
Yeah, actually, all you have to do is put into your browser Indiana Catholic Women's Conference, and it will come up, and it gives you all the information, a little map of where how to get to the conference center and all that, you know, I think everybody would really need to know. But that's really the way to see about signing up. We also have all the women who did sign up for the 2020. And we have, we've been reaching out to them. And if, you know, we actually want to make sure that if they did not get an email from someone, either as if they were in a group, they will get one from their group leader. If not, if they signed up online, we've already sent that out to 200 women.
So,
and we're getting answers all the time. But if you're new to us and you'd like to sign up, you can do that at Indiana Catholic Women's Conference, either .com or just in your browser.
All right. And so anybody who signed up and paid last year's event because of COVID, like everything else, was canceled about that time. So they're already prepaid. They're all welcome. But they should RSVP anyhow, just so you know they're coming.
Yes, and we are so hopeful, and it looks like most are going to come. But our problem being that, you know, we must hear from them because each lunch is $26, and we don't want to waste that.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to make sure we have the lunch for the women who did sign up. So,
sure.
So
sure.
We're hoping to hear from everybody.
Now, one of the big things that people like to do at the conference is listen to the various speakers that you have. And I know you go out of your way to get some excellent, excellent speakers there. And I was just looking at your website there. You've already got several really dynamite speakers lined up.
Yeah, we really do. I'm really excited. We have a lady named Gina Bauer, and she was suggested to us just randomly from three people, one of them being Sister Diane Corallo, who's you know, comes each year and helps us out. And so I began to look at her and see what, listen to some of her talks and things like that online. But she's really excellent. And so we were really happy that we could get her. She has been to, she's a theology teacher at St. Paul's Seminary, but, you know, we won't be getting theology from her. She also does lots of retreats, workshops. She's She's been to Steubenville many times, and she speaks a lot on the dignity and vocation of women in today's world. She's got four children of her own. She's really somebody that we're excited that she's coming.
Yeah, and I notice Father James Blount is also a big draw. Talk about him.
He's really a draw, and we're so happy. He hasn't been with us for maybe 4 or 5 years, but for a while he was coming every year, and the women love him. He is a member of the Society of Our Lady of the Trinity. He's an exorcist. He's a healer, and he's just a powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we're really hoping that, you know, the women really get to. He will be probably in the afternoon. So try to stay is what I would say to the women.
And I don't know if you consider it entertainment or inspiration or maybe both, but Annie Carteau will be there as well?
She will, and while she's also will sing for us at the Mass and things, she's also a speaker. And we've really, I don't think, ever had her as a speaker, but she is wonderful. And she really is so excited because she's going to talk on the Eucharist, and she's using Archbishop Corleone's presentation that he gave called Protect the Sacred. And it's about protecting the Eucharist. So really exciting. And we're really happy with our setup and our speakers this year. And I hope the women that didn't sign up will get online and sign up. And the ones who did sign up can call me or really better to email us at the Marian Center. And that is Marian, M-A-R-I-A-N, and then C-N-T-R, and that is at AOL.com.
That's really awesome. So it's still going to go on because there's some options, right? So this isn't going to get canceled as we're recording this. You're pretty sure it's still going to roll on, right?
Well, this is our plan, and the only thing that would shut us down is if, in fact, Marion County would just completely shut down, because we have a big enough space that even if we did have to decide that, you know, that they'd like us to social distance, we've got room. So we have the upstairs Sagamore rooms, and I think it'd be, you know, fine, and we're planning on it going. Yes, absolutely.
Sounds like a great time. We're out of time. Our guest today has been Kathy Denny, Marian Center of Indianapolis founder, with the Indiana Catholic Women's Conference coming up September 25th. Thanks so much for being our guest, Kathy.
Oh, thank you for doing this, because it really can enlighten those ladies that need to get a hold of us.
All right.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break here. We'll be right back with the part two of our Faith in Action program right after this.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Keep Jesus at the center of our day all day long by having those words in the background.
It touches lives. It does every day.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. For the second portion of this show, we will be talking with Dominican priest Father Patrick Hyde, and we're going to be talking about the Fellowship of Catholic University students and their work at St. Paul's Catholic Center at Indiana University Bloomington campus. So, Father, welcome to Faith in Action.
Bridget Jim, good to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we got started here, I was actually saying that I attended IU Bloomington, and I really, really loved St. Paul's Newman Center there on the north side of campus. Tell us a little bit about that and maybe how long you've been there serving in that parish.
Yeah, so St. Paul's was initially, when IU was built, there weren't a lot of Catholic students. So there was just one church in Bloomington, and St. Paul's was built in 1969, primarily to serve the students, faculty, and staff of Indiana University. And so St. Paul's has been here serving students since 1969 on the north side of campus. I'm a Dominican priest. The Dominican friars have been at St. Paul's serving in the ministry since 2005.
Okay.
And I have been here as I was associate pastor for 3 years, and I'm starting my second year as pastor here. So I've been here since 2016. I was administrator for a year or two.
And Father, I know the answer to this question, but you are a Dominican priest, and it would seem like after your name you ought to have letters like D-O-M or something. You don't. You have O-P. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so the Dominicans, a formal name is the Order of Friars Preachers. So St. Dominic founded us in 1216, and we actually just celebrated a couple days ago the 800th anniversary of his death. St. Dominic founded us to be preachers, and so we are called to live in community, to pray together, to live a life of silence, contemplation, and community and study, and to share the gifts that the Lord gives to us in those things with the world through preaching. And that takes the form of pulpit preaching, it takes the form of retreat preaching, but it also takes the form of simply just going out and building relationships and finding ways to share the gospel with people in ways great and small alike.
And one thing I love about the Dominicans is your garb. Do you want to describe what you wear? Because it's very distinct, and you really stand out. And I'm sure you get approached in the airport, too, or wherever you are. You know, people don't know who you are or what you are. Explain what you wear and why.
Yes. So when I was a novice, so my first year of formation, one of the priests in our community there, Father Bob, he said that the Dominican habit is the Cadillac of habits in the Catholic Church. The full habit, we have a black cape and a hood, but normally we wear a full white habit with a hood, what's called a capuce, a scapular, which is a shoulder length or shoulder width garment that goes all the way front and back, a tunic, a belt, and a 15-decade rosary. And, that was the garb of the poor, the garb of where St. Dominic was founded, and then some of the elements like the scapula and the rosary were added through the intercession of Our Lady to one of our early friars, Blessed Reginald of Orléans. And so we've worn pretty much the garb of 12th-century peasants with a little additions for 800 years.
Sandals?
Not sandals all the time. So St. Dominic, he would go barefoot. But when he would come into towns, he would wear shoes. So some friars, some Dominicans do wear sandals, but that's more of a part of the Franciscan uniform than the Dominican uniform.
Well, most of the students are back on campus. I think you guys started back, on the 23rd of August?
August 23rd was the first day of class.
Okay. Right. And campuses around the United States have a Newman Center, which is what you are. What exactly is a Newman Center?
So a Newman Center, it takes its name from St. John Henry Newman, who was a convert to Catholicism from Anglicanism in the 19th century in England. And when St. John Henry Newman converted to Catholicism, he encouraged Catholics, because still at the time in England, there was still strident anti-Catholicism, he encouraged students at secular universities, Oxford, Cambridge, and the like, to form associations of Catholic students for fellowship and also for their own formation. And so in the United States, in the 1950s, when public universities started to really expand after the Second World War, a lot of bishops founded on major public university campuses what are called these Newman Centers, which, it's the same way here at St. Paul Catholic Center, which grew out of these Catholic student associations that were started as the Catholic community grew. And in many places, again, like we have here in Bloomington at Indiana University, became a standalone center for the students, faculty, and staff of the university. Most major public universities would have a Newman Center or a parish dedicated to the service of students. I went to a smaller private liberal arts college when I was in college. We didn't have a Newman Center. We simply had a Catholic campus ministry, and we were more of a Catholic student organization. And so on a lot of other campuses that either aren't huge, like IU has about 50,000 students on campus.
True.
That can't necessarily justify having a standalone parish with a standalone priest. They'll have a chaplain and or a lay campus minister. And that's kind of the mm-hmm. nexus of our ministry at Indiana University. So we look at our place as kind of the launching pad for us to go out on campus. Maybe 50 years ago it was a place where students came, and we always want people to come and feel welcome here. We just renovated our basement so that students would feel more welcome and able to come here and study or hang out whenever they want, which are odd hours, obviously. But we want to be a place where we go from, not a place where we're just attracting people to, because as we all know, the realities is about 80 to 90% of our young people who are baptized in the faith have more or less left the faith by the time they even step foot on a college campus. And so it is obviously important for us and a primary facet of our ministry to go do outreach on campus, to reach those students who are baptized in the faith, but also to reach those who are searching for truth and searching for meaning and purpose in their life.
Now, how do you identify Catholic students? 50,000 students over there, 5 or 10,000 are Catholic. How do you, can't just walk around campus and tap people on the shoulder and ask them if they're Catholic. How do you find people who would be candidates for the Newman Center?
Sure. So I'll say this. This is one of the, the Dominicans, we run the Newman Center at both IU and Purdue, and there's there's always that rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
Purdue University, they have a religious preference card as part of their admissions. When you enroll at the university, you can check off a box. So they share that with the different campus ministries associated with Purdue University. At IU, we get no information from the university about the religion of the students coming in or their preferences. And so we have to go out and find them. So in the during the week before classes start, when students move in, it's called Welcome Week. There are several events we attended. One is called Culture Fest. Another is Faith Fest. Faith Fest is specifically for religious organizations. Culture Fest is really for the different cultural groups, and religion falls under that. And we go and we just press the flesh, introduce ourselves, invite people to fill out registrations. We had a huge cookout the first Sunday of the school year. We have a meal after every Sunday evening mass. We have a 5:30 mass with a free meal every Sunday. And we just try and do as much as we can, not only to attract people to come to St. Paul's, but then we have five focus missionaries and five full-time, what we call pastoral interns. And their primary job is to go out and reach people on campus through Bible studies, through social events, and then to invite them to things. This coming football season, we're very excited. We're going to do tailgate cookouts for every home football game with our student Knights of Columbus and the local Knights of Columbus and our interns, so that now it's like, okay, why don't you come with your family? Your family's coming down here for a football game. Come to St. Paul's. And now it's not necessarily ministry in the sense of come to Mass, but it's let's get to know each other. Let's say hello. And it might be that means by which mom and dad can get, Johnny to come to St. Paul's, and he may never darken the doorstep otherwise, but then he can see, hey, we're not crazy people, we're normal people. We love Jesus, and we want you to have that as well. So most of what we're doing is just trying to reach out, and it's not so much tapping people on the shoulder, but as a Dominican priest walking on campus, that brings attention. So that helps also as well. Although sometimes we have been confused for members of the KKK, which is unfortunate.
Ooh, yeah.
But we do go out and just try to fly the flag and say, hey, there's someone here who loves you, and there's a church on campus for you.
We just have a couple minutes left. We're talking with Father Patrick Hyde. He is the pastor and director of campus ministry at St. Paul Catholic Center, Newman Center at Indiana University Bloomington. And a lot of the things you're talking about with this outreach really dovetails with FOCUS, Fellowship of Catholic University Students. So talk a little bit about that mission and how you are carrying that out. You've touched on a whole bunch of different ways that you're reaching out. But talk a little bit about what makes it a FOCUS parish, I guess, or a Newman Center or a dovetail collaboration.
Yeah, so we collaborate with FOCUS, Fellowship of Catholic University Students. They're a little over 20 years old. And what FOCUS does, their primary apostolate is one-on-one discipleship and small group of Bible studies. And FOCUS missionaries. We have 5 focus missionaries. They train and send their missionaries to our campus, and we work together. So we, as the Newman Center, we kind of have different ways of approaching how do we encounter a student, right? And focus is the primary means by which we evangelize our students, by helping them come to understand that God created them, that God has a plan for their life, and that He desires to be in intimate relationship with you. And what focus does, which helps to drive this home, which is so important for our young people, is they do this through relationship, through personal witness and relationship. So our focus missionaries are meeting one-on-one with the students in their Bible studies, are sharing their lives with them. You know, we could say incarnational evangelization. It's not just like, hey, I want to share something with you. It's, hey, I want to share my life with you, and then I want to invite you into something deeper. And we've been partnering with Focus. This will be our 5th year, I believe, with Focus here on campus at IU. And in that time, the number of students who we are forming, who we know and who are involved in our ministry, has quadrupled. The number of students who we are really, in terms of one-on-one discipleship, has increased by about 8-fold during that time. Because, and you know, St. Paul the VI said this in Evangelii Nuntiandi, the world needs witnesses. It doesn't need teachers. It doesn't. You know, we need those, but really what the world needs are witnesses. And Focus, you have 5 20-something right out of college kids who love the Lord and just want to share that with you and walk with you in your life. And so that's what they bring to our ministry, is that ability where I don't have as a priest to really say, let's go spend a couple hours together and be in each other's lives. And they do that each and every day through their Bible studies, through their outreach, and through just being a part of our mission and ministry here, so that when a student comes, no matter where he or she is on their walk in life, there's someone, a missionary or a student who's been discipled by a missionary, who can walk with them.
The address, the website is hoosiercatholic.org. And before we go, Father, could you give our audience a blessing?
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And we wish you a wonderful year, and may the Holy Spirit be with you. Our guest today has been Father Patrick Hyde, pastor and director of campus ministry at St. Paul Catholic Center at Indiana University Bloomington. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is underwritten by the Knights of Columbus, Council 6923, and Fishers, and is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. If you have comments or suggestions for guests or topics for this program, please email Brigid@CatholicRadioIndy.org. That's Brigid at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call 317-870-8400. This program is pre-recorded.